Access number 30,395, Mr. Barry Summerfield, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about your time with the General Army Corps at Retford.
Yeah.
And you were only there about a month, December, yeah. January sort yeah. of thing. Now, how did you get on with the other lads? I mean, you're all young recruits, but you're probably younger than most, being a year underage. How did you get on with them, you know?
Yeah, great, because, you see, if I remember rightly, and I'm not 100% sure about this, I think we were more or less all volunteers. So, of course, we wanted to be there anyway. I'm not 100% sure about that, of course. But I didn't... So,
certainly, everyone, to your impression was everyone was keen.
Yeah.
Whichever way it was.
Yeah, certainly. That's certainly. The majority wanted to be there.
And were they from the same sort of background as yourself, or even the same area, or were they from everywhere?
No, there was only one guy that I ever met that came from Brighton. Only one.
So were they the same social background? Or?
I would have thought maybe, possibly not.
You mean lower or higher?
Probably lower, I would have thought.
So your family were probably better off than most?
I think they were, yeah.
Now, was there any... trouble amongst you, either regional, you know, some people don't like people, or bullies, or anything. Or
no, I don't remember anything like that. That's a funny, you know, when I read a bit deep on places like that, and I think I don't remember ever anything like that ever happening. I think you were more or less united against the NCOs.
Now you mentioned one lad who wouldn't wash. Was that there? The lad who wouldn't wash.
Yeah,
that was there. Was it? What did you do with him?
Took him in the washroom, stripped him, and scrubbed him with brooms. He washed after that. It worked. He was the cleanest man in the platoon.
But he'd been pretty dirty. How bad was he? I mean, would he just...
No, I don't, this is again, you see, because in those days you don't know whether he was trying to swing your lead. Right? He may have been trying to swing your lead. He was very, very bad. So in the end we said, like...
So, he actually smelt then.
Yeah, and if I remember rightly, the instigation was from the Lance Corporal. And he said, lads, I think you ought to do something about this.
Now, how did you get on with your instructors? You know, the Lance Corporal and any others you came across?
The majority were very good.
Now, in what way? What was very good?
The reason, let's put it another way, the reason that they were very good is it was in their best interest to have the best platoon. So then, therefore, whilst a little bit of shouting and things might have gone on, it was in their best interest as well as theirs to have the best platoon that they could. And they knew the best way to get that. So they did. They were all very professional in those days. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were talking about. Most of them had been in active service anyway.
So you had confidence in them?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, you know, you looked up to them because you knew that they knew what they were talking about.
How did you take to the shouting? I mean, there would be a bit of shouting going on.
Oh, quite a lot, yeah. I mean, that was the way the army was in those days.
Did it bother you at all?
No.
Was there much swear? Did they swear at you much?
A little bit, yeah.
But not excessive?
No.
Nothing
that worried you, no.
So, generally, you got on well with yours?
Yeah, generally, we got along all right.
And what about you were united against them, but it was all mock, it was part of a game.
Oh, of course it was. It was never serious or anything like that. I mean, I can't remember anybody ever taking a poke at anybody. No, I don't remember that.
Now, what about the officers? At this stage, would you see them?
No, they were very distant. They were distant. And I mean, you saw your own personal officers maybe once a day for a very limited period. I hardly remember anything about officers at all in those days, to be perfectly honest, except when you had your general parade, which I think was on a Saturday morning, when the colonel appeared and he was like some mystical figure. That's good.
Now, were you allowed out while you were at Retford at all?
I don't think we went out very very much at Retford. We were basically in camp, getting on with it, and that was it.
Now, did you finish the course at Retford, or were you sent to Oswestry before?
No. I was sent to Oswestry because I was physically unfit, right?
Now, in what way?
I don't know. I never found out I was physically unfit, but they had a special school at Oswestry which was supposed to build you up. Only thing I remember about it is I caught bloody pneumonia there.
Now, what was it at Oswestry? Do you know the name of the unit?
I don't know what it was. All I know is we went to Oswestry in Shropshire, and we were there for about 4 weeks.
And when, this was after Christmas, this January?
Yeah, it would have been about January, yeah.
So that's January 46?
Yeah.
And you were there 4 weeks?
Yeah, about 4 weeks, yeah.
Now, what was the PT regime like? I presume it was a lot of PT, was it?
Yeah, a lot of exercise. Going up by Oswestry, Street, the bloody mountains. There's always mountains around there. Going up and down hills and all that. It seemed to me that it was geared for making you fit. Basically, that was it. I think we did have a few lectures, but not many. I think mainly it was basically geared for making you fit.
Because so far, a rep...
And the food was very good. I remember that.
So they'd spotted you weren't fit, and now this was a remedial PT.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
And did it work?
Yes. Yeah, it did. Yeah.
How could you tell? I mean...
You felt a hell of a sight better when you got back to Retford. We went back to Retford after the 4 weeks.
So, now, tell me about the pneumonia, though. That's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, well, I can't remember. All I know is I called it, and they put me in those days, there were military hospitals, obviously. They put me in the military dock there. And I was in for a few days, I know. Again, you know, it was just sort of taking care of you, trying to get you fit, 100% fit.
Was it a bad, I mean, all pneumonia is bad, but I mean, was it a bad attack? Were you ill for long?
Well, I don't remember, to be perfectly honest. I think I was up and about, and lying to attention in bed and things like that. So that was it.
Now, so then you went back to
Retford.
And you'd be behind, I presume.
No. In actual fact, this was marvellous because all of a sudden, by the time we got back, we were old soldiers. Yeah, because all the people that were in there were young soldiers who just joined. We were old seasoned troopers, though. We'd been to two army camps.
So you didn't join your old course?
No. As far as I remember, the only thing I can clearly remember, when we got there, they had nowhere for us to sleep. So we had a theatre and a stage. We slept on the stage. I remember that. And then we were only there for a few days, and they shipped us off to a unit.
So you didn't really finish your course?
Not properly,
So you didn't do any weapons firing at all?
Not there. Not at Revan, never did, but nobody did any weapons firing.
So when did you finish there? Would that be February, or do you remember?
It must have been around about January sometime.
Still January?
Yeah.
So what happened next then?
Then they posted you. Then it came up that you could choose the arm you wanted, i.e. infantry.
Now, I thought you'd already picked cavalry, or was that
that was what you'd chosen, but it didn't mean to say you were going to get it. But I seem to remember that then you were picked for whatever corps you were going into. That was it, the corps. And you were given whatever barracks you were going to go to, whatever depot.
So what corps had you gone
for? I'd gone for the Royal Armoured Corps, which I got.
Did they assess you in any way that you were aware of?
I think they probably did, yes. Yeah, I think they would have done some sort of things on one thing and another.
But you weren't particularly aware of it?
No. I know that I probably would have got through a little bit of help by the driving, because I could drive when I was 10 years old. I used to drive the fat tractor on Dad's farm.
So you were selected, but was there a pass-out parade, a passing out?
Yes. Yeah.
What was that like? That was at Retford.
But it wasn't all that much. It wasn't a big one.
So not something you remember?
No, not until we got to the core one. Then everything got big.
Right. Now, you were picked for the RAC. Where were you going to go to?
Banner Castle.
And was that Westgate Camp? Do you know the name of the camp?
I can't remember that now.
And And that was the Royal Armoured Corps Training Centre.
That was the Royal Armoured Corps Training Centre, and we were there for 13 weeks.
Now, what was your reception like when you got there?
That was really, you know, that was serious. Now, you get to be a serious soldier. There's not a lot of shouting and all that sort of thing, because they knew that you were semi-trained. So they gave you a little bit of respect then in that case. But it was really, really hard, the whole thing, right from start to finish.
Now, what were the conditions of service like there? Because it was still the middle of winter.
It was still, it was still exactly the same. It didn't change. The barrack room, the only thing I can remember clearly about the barrack room was we had a corporal in there. The sergeant, I've always remembered, his name was Masters, Sergeant Masters. He was in the rifle brigade. And the corporal, I can't remember the corporal's name, but he was in the King's Royal Rifle Corps. Always remember those two, because the two regiments go together. Anyway. And
what were they like?
They were efficient. And they were going to have the best platoon, because they always had the best platoon.
Now, can we talk? I should have picked it up before. What is this competition between platoons? Tell us a bit more how it worked and how effective, because I think it works. I think
it does work. It is terribly
effective. Tell me how it works.
Well, you've got, in each outtake, you've got three platoons, right, who will all be doing exactly the same course for 13 weeks. Now, it isn't just, you know, marching and all that sort of thing. I mean, it's classroom stuff. You're learning about tanks, you're learning about gunnery, you're learning about driving, you're learning about wireless operating, you're doing the whole thing in 13 weeks. It really was totally crammed full of work. And on top of which, you're doing guard duties in the normal way, cleaning the barracks in the normal way.
So how does the competition work? Let's stick to that for
right,
the moment.
Okay, so you would be made aware of it by the sergeant, right? He would say, look now, lads.
This is Sergeant Masters.
Yeah. I always have the best platoon. Always. Remember that, lads. I always have the best platoon. And you are not going to let me down this time. So we will be the best platoon this time. And that's how it all started. He had nothing to do, as I remember, with the actual learning part of it. He was the drill sergeant. And also, he was the armoury sergeant. So when we did our firing, we did it under him. But other than that, you never saw Sergeant Masters after morning parade.
So what about the other one? I've forgotten his name, the corporal.
The corporal. You had the corporal with you all the time because he slept in the barracks.
And what was he like?
He was all right. He was all right. He was. He had little idiosyncrasies. For instance, at the end of the room where he slept, he had his own, like, it was a room. It wasn't just, he didn't just sleep at the end. He had a little room. And outside his little room, he had a mat. And you weren't allowed to tread on the mat. You were not allowed to ever tread on the mat. Whilst he went through the roof.
But he was all right.
Yeah, he was all right.
And you got caught up in this company, because you can... I mean, it can tell you.
Yeah, you do.
You got bound up in it, didn't
you? Yeah, you do. Because there's three huts for a start. Each intake is in each hut. And, you know, you want your hut to be there. You always UV to be the cleanest. You know? And then, of course, once we got and started doing the drill, then we realised we were rather good at it. We did realise we were rather good at it. As a matter of fact, we were bloody good. And I think that the award at the end of the course, after the 13 weeks, was that the top platoon got the gold stick. Sergeant Masters got it. He never missed.
So it was an effective system. Now, we'll take drill as well, because I presume it's just getting better at drill. All the time. Now, what you mentioned the other great list of the training. Let's talk about those. What were you doing there?
Well, you get up in the morning. Quick tidy round in the barrack room, but it was normally clean anyway. Quick tidy round, wash, shave, off to breakfast. You always marched everywhere anyway, you never ambled, marched everywhere to breakfast. You'd come back and then you'd go to your first lesson, be whatever it was.
Now what might it be?
Well, it might be gunnery. So then you go to the gunnery school.
Well, tell us about, so what's your gunnery training like?
Like,
what are you learning on?
You're going to learn, first and foremost, to fire the big gun, which in those days was a Comet which had a 75mm, right? So you learned to fire that, but the way you did it, you had a 2.2 rifle and a panorama, as it were, of sand with little model tanks and things like that, and you learned how to shoot and how to aim and everything like that.
So you learned on the .22?
Oh yeah, you learned on models. You didn't learn on the real thing until later. That would be about 4 weeks into your course before you actually got in a real tank.
And how realistic was the .22 range for aiming? And
well, it taught us how to shoot, so it must have been.
What do you have to learn? Do you know what I mean? What is the art of that you're looking for?
Well, the art of a gunner, right, in a tank. The commander and the gunner have got to be close to each other. They've got to understand one another. So that the commander says to the driver, to the gunner, right, Travis Wright, steady on. Tank 500 yards. Gunner will do the adjusting, boom, boom, tank 500 yards, fire. And that's it. If the tank commander's not good, he won't put him on the target, which case he won't find it and he'll miss. That sort of thing. So you learn coordination between a lot of you anyway.
And would you learn that on the .22 range?
Yeah, you'd learn that on the .22 range to start with, yeah. And then you did your wireless course. Now, wireless was much more...
After you'd done the .22 range, and you got the basics, what were the next stage? We'd do all the gunnery together, I think.
Okay, right. In that case, then you'd also learn the machine gun. Because remember, you were, on the Comet, you had two machine guns. Right? So you learn the machine gun, learn how to load it, unload it. You did that on a real machine gun,
which was on
a tripod.
Browning, or which gun was it? Beezer?
7.92, Beezer. But you did that on a tripod. And you learned how to load it, unload it, clear it if it's false. Learn everything about it, in other words.
What do you think of it?
Beezer, bloody good gun, actually.
Why? What's good about it?
It was a good gun. It was accurate. It was very accurate. And it wasn't prone to jams and things like that. It wasn't too bad.
What about maintenance? Was it?
If it had a fault, its fault was the fact that all the shells, the cartridges, came back into the tank. So in other words, you had a bag there that caught them, and you had to empty it every so often. In modern tanks, the shells were actually ejected out through the front of the tank, so you don't get it anymore.
So you started to learn that, and you were firing it, were you on the range?
No, that's when we actually started. When you started your tank training proper, you did the whole lot, right? You didn't just do gunnery. You went out and you did gunnery, wireless operating, driving, as a team then, as a crew.
So, all right, we'll do that separately then. So as far as you go with gunnery training, before you got in the tank...
Then you did classroom
training.
You did
your 22 range, .22 range that's simulation. It. You did the... and learning how to work with a commander.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
You did the Beezer machine
that's
gun.
It.
Well, that's it. And you had lectures about the guns.
That's it, yeah, obviously. Yeah, you had to learn the working parts and all that.
So that's the gunnery side.
That was the gunnery
now,
side.
Now, how did they start you at wireless training before you got in the tank again?
Yeah. Well, wireless training was very, very interesting because you did a lot of practical work with wireless training, a hell of a lot of practical work, more than you did in the classroom. I think we only spent about 2, maximum 3 days in the classroom learning about it.
Now, what were you learning?
About the learning what the set is, how to operate it, how to tune it in, and basically how to control it, and that's all. And then they put you out on schemes, and you went on a scheme almost every day.
Now what would a scheme be like? How does it work?
Very interesting. You were tucked in the back of a 1500 way, wireless was mounted on there, and you do stimulate battles and things like that, and it was really good fun.
So you'd have to follow all the wireless procedures?
Oh, yes, you had the total procedure, which you'd already learnt in the classroom anyway.
Now, what were the procedures? You know, I mean, are these things like voice procedures, you mean?
Well, security procedures, no.
What kind of thing? Oh.
Well, so that you
it's
you,
all verbal, is it? It's not Morse.
Yeah, it's all verbal. The only time I ever used Morse, actually, was out in Korea. Never used Morse.
So, you're learning...
We learnt Morse, incidentally. That's where we learnt Morse, in the classroom.
I'll come back to that. So, you got wireless training, voice procedure, that's sort of over and out and stuff.
That's it, yeah. To know how to speak on the radio, to know the codes, because you had codes, obviously, to know the code of the day, whatever it was, and to know all the procedures for using the radio properly.
And were these easy to learn?
No, not really. No, they weren't easy to learn. And keeping the radio, controlling the radio itself, you know, tuning it in to keep in touch with the next radio was difficult. You know, it wasn't easy.
Which radio was it? Which set?
The 19 set.
And that was it? Was that what you did everything on?
Yeah, on the 19 set when we were at Barnet Castle, yes. We did, towards the end, have the 38. But I never found that very effective, to be perfectly honest.
Is that bigger or smaller?
No, it was a little small one, wasn't it? Yeah. Only have four channels.
So you've got anything else you're doing? Voice procedures? What about was there any coding now?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you had codes and everything like that. You had to do all those. You had whatever code it was in the day. That changed every day.
Were they complex codes or were they reasonably easy to...
No, they were... If you just put your mind to it, you could understand them.
And phonetic... I presume you had a phonetic
alphabet. Yeah, but a phonetic alphabet, it wasn't 2 years later I discovered that the one that I use today had been out of fashion for about 20 years.
So, anything else about wireless training at that stage?
No, that was it. As I say, wireless training was probably, in a way, the most interesting because... you did get out and about on that one.
How much Morse did you do? Because Morse can take weeks to learn.
We did it. We were competent. I think we had to be... I can't remember now the exact figure, but we had to be able to send, I don't know, 20 or 30 words a minute or something like that. I can't remember for sure. We had a target.
How did you learn? Because, I mean...
We learnt by in a classroom. With an actual set.
And who would you send and receive to?
To the guy in the same classroom, I think.
And he'd listen, and the instructor would be listening.
Yeah.
And were you a natural at Morse? Because some people just take to it like music. Other
I wasn't brilliant at it, but I did it. Let's put it that way. I was never brilliant at it, but I could do it.
So you've got gunnery training, you've got wireless training. What else you do?
Then you go on driver training.
Now tell me about driver training.
Well, I didn't do a lot of that, to be perfectly honest, because I was never going to go as a driver anyway. And I think halfway through the course, they sort of more or less decide what your aptitude is. And it was quite obvious I was going to be a wireless operator.
Now, what tell us, as far as they got with driver training.
Right, okay.
First thing, so you could drive already, because you...
Yeah. What you do is you went into a hangar, and they've got the engines all stripped down. No tanks, just engines. And you learnt the basic principles of the engine, how it works, in other words, as simple mechanics.
Did you learn to maintain the engines or just learn what they were?
Now, I think at that point you just learnt what they were. You didn't start your maintenance till you got your tank.
So you wouldn't get that far?
No, you didn't get that far until about... Oh, it must have been about 6 weeks before you started getting into the tanks.
So you hadn't done that?
No.
So you learned about the engine,
yeah.
Then what?
And then you learn how it works and how to maintain it. But you did all that in the hangar, remember that? You had to learn about oil changes, how you top up, how you fill up with petrol, that sort of thing.
And then what did you start driving? I mean, could you all drive, or would they teach you to drive a car?
No, most of them couldn't drive. Remember that. Most of them couldn't drive at all.
So how did they start you?
They took us out to the tank park. And they had, if I remember rightly, they had tanks without turrets on. So that you could, some of the lads would stand in the back. Because then you could see down into the driver's compartment.
So they didn't start you on a lorry. They started you on tanks.
Oh, of course they did, yeah.
But I thought that is
Sorry.
Norway.
Sorry, yeah.
Did you...
Bloody Windermere, of course, up those hills, yeah. Yeah, no, we did, yes. Now, that was fairly early on in the course. I'm sorry, I've forgotten about that. Fairly early on in the course, they took us out on 1,500 weights. And then they took us out on 3-tonners. And we drove around the Lake District, yes.
And how did you take, like, you could do that?
I was all right. I didn't have many problems with driving.
So you just took to it naturally?
Yeah, because I could drive anyway, you know.
So that's it. And then they put you in these tanks.
And then eventually after, then we went into the classroom. I think while we were doing the driving thing with the lorries, we were only doing that for so many hours, and then we were back in the classrooms again. As I say, it was a hectic 13 weeks.
And then what about these tanks, these with the open tops?
As far as I remember, the idea was that they'd take about 10 men into the back of each one of the converted tanks, as it were, and you'd all have a go over the driving course, which was very, very up and down and muddy and God knows what.
And how'd you do on that?
I think I did all right. I don't think I was really... See, the trouble was I wasn't over-interested in driving, thank you.
Now, any other training? I mean, that's a lot already. Gunnery, wireless, driving, anything else you're doing? Guard duties. Were the guard duties any different from what we've already discussed? Guard duties, any different?
Yes, they were. They were a lot more severe.
In what way?
You had to be right on the ball. There was no sort of joking about with it. You couldn't get away with anything. You had a proper turnout. The officer of the guard would turn out.
Did they have a stick man?
Yeah, you had a stick man, yeah.
Can you explain to him what that is?
Well, he's the man that's got the best... On the initial parade for the guard, when they fall in, first of all, outside the guard room, the sergeant of the guard will inspect the guard. He'll pick out the man that he thinks is the smartest. He gets stick man for the night, which means that he gets a lot of bloody perks for the job.
Was there a lot of competition for that, or did you...
Yeah, no, there was a lot of competition everywhere at Barley Castle. Everywhere was competition.
Now, did you get the stick man? I mean, you were
me
keen.
Personally, no, never once.
Why not? What was wrong? Because you were keen.
But don't mean to say that you're always the smartest, no matter how hard you try. No, I don't remember ever getting stick man.
But you tried.
Oh, I tried, yeah.
Now, anything else about training before we go on to when you go into the tanks?
No, I don't think so. I think then...
Were you selected as a wireless operator before you went in the tanks for the first time?
Oh, yes. We'd done all their wireless course on the lorries and everything before we went in the tank.
So when were you selected as a wireless operator, do you think?
I don't remember. Don't remember that. But it just...
Were you pleased? I mean...
I wasn't selected as a wireless operator until I went into my unit.
So...
I was still a general. But a general soldier.
But you specialised...
I was more interested in radio. I didn't specialise, but I was more interested. Because you didn't specialise in anything, you just did the course. And that was it. At the end, the NCOs obviously made, and the instructors obviously made recommendations, which went through to your eventual unit.
So you were just interested in stuff. Now, what about when you get to the tank? Tell me, so which tank was it?
It was a Comet, Mark V, if I remember rightly.
Now, what did you think of the Comet?
The Comet,
you know, it's not that well known now compared
Comet
to how many.
Comet was a marvelous tank.
In what ways?
It was a good tank to drive. It was a good tank to fire the gun on. It was the first tank with a stabilizer. The wireless set was good.
119 set.
The tank was easy to maintain. Didn't have problems with maintenance. It was a good tank. The only thing was it was bloody cold. Didn't have a heater.
So as far as you, it was great.
It was a good tank.
Now, what were the crew roles in the tank? Take me through them from top to... Did you do all of the roles?
Yeah, you had to. No, you didn't, in actual fact, because you didn't do the spare gunner, because the spare gunner wasn't trained as a particular thing. He was just trained as the general like the rest of us.
So, first was
the driver, okay? Drove a tank. Controlled by the commander, by radio, internal radio.
Intercom,
right? By the side of the driver was the spare machine gunner. Right, into the turret then, you've got the gunner, and then you've got the commander who sat above him, controlling everything. And then on the other side of the gun, the main gun, you've got the wireless operator. his job was an operator, load the machine gun, fire the machine gun, well, keep the machine gun firing, load the main armament and clear out any spare shells and keep the radio going at the same time. That was his job.